Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
On the job, every minute counts. That's why Lowe's now has ProBlock Quick Dry Primer, expertly manufactured by Sherwin-Williams. Engineered for pros to dry fast and go on smooth for virtually flawless results that keep your job moving. It's available in oil and water-based, and getting it is easy. Order online by 2 p.m. and get free same-day delivery right to your job site. Lowe's, we help, you save. Orders placed after 2 p.m. will be delivered next day. Valid in select zip codes. Subject to driver availability. More terms apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Happy Wednesday. Welcome to Send It In, presented by BetMGM here on the BetMGM Network. I'm your host, PJ Glasser. We got a loaded show coming up for you guys today. Over the next 30 minutes, we're going to talk some NFL draft with Chad Reuter, who's going to join us here in moments. We're going to look at the upcoming NBA play-in games that we have tonight, the 9-10 matchups in both the East and the Western Conference. Got to talk some golf today. We got the RBC Heritage teeing up tomorrow out in Hilton Head, South Carolina. Chase Kitty is going to join us later on in the show as well. Jake Hassan to talk some baseball. And then we'll wrap everything up with our favorite plays of the day. As always, any questions, any comments, any best bets that you guys have for us, send them in to us here on Send It In. You can hit us up at the BetMGM Network on Twitch, on YouTube, on our live stream on X as well. We'll try and get to all your questions over the next 30 minutes. And if you miss any part of the show, make sure you check out the Send It In podcast, which is available wherever you get your podcast. Let's talk some NFL draft, though. As Glasses and Sesh, we go to the Glasser guest line, check in with Chad Reuter, kind enough to join us. Give Chad a follow on X at Chad_Reuter, NFL draft researcher for NFL Media. Chad, you just had your newest mock draft unveiled. You were literally telling us few minutes ago, so excited to dive into that with you. Want to start at the top of the draft, right? Because it feels like we know Cam Ward's going 1 to Tennessee. Number 2, it feels like certainly Hunter is going to Cleveland. There's a lot of talk, though, a lot of chatter that's picking up about what the Giants are going to do at number 3 with Shador. Do you feel like at this point, Chad, like that really is a legit possibility with Shador going number 3 to New York? Do you feel like if Cleveland doesn't get Travis Hunter, that if it was between Shador and Travis Hunter, the Giants would go in the direction of Hunter? Like, what do you think's the thought process right now, just about a week away with the New York Giants?
Yeah, I mean, I've projected Shador going to the Giants a couple of times on mock drafts. I think that's a legitimate possibility. The Giants worked out a bunch of quarterbacks recently. One of them was Shador, so that's a legitimate possibility. But they also worked out quarterbacks like Jalen Milroe and Tyler Shook, and so there is a possibility in my the fifth round mock draft that was been out there for a couple weeks now. I had Shador going there, but in the seventh round mock draft that's coming out on a Friday, I might go a different direction. It's really up in the air. The quarterback situation for a lot of teams is up in the air. We don't really know. But I think, obviously, if Cleveland went Shador, which is not as likely, but certainly if they went a different direction other than Hunter, the Giants would have to consider him because he's just the best player in the class, period. And he's going to be an excellent player for years to come. So I think they would have to consider him.
Yeah, certainly a unicorn, Travis Hunter, no question about it. What about the other New York team, Chad. The New York Jets, they're sitting there at 7. They got Justin Fields in the offseason. They're certainly looking for their franchise quarterback. Saw that you had Jackson Dart going number 7 to the Jets, which I think is really fascinating. Dart is 40-1 on BetMGM to be the number 7th overall pick. The Jets to select a quarterback with their first pick is 11-1. So certainly would be off the board if New York goes in that direction. What makes you think that that's a possibility with Jackson Dart potentially going to the Jets?
Well, Michael Penix, I think, was something like 60-1, 66-1 to be the 8th pick overall last year to Atlanta. Things like that happen. And you know, the odds don't always take into account teams that will sign a Justin Fields or a Kirk Cousins or a Sam Darnold, but still pick a quarterback anyway in the top 10. And Dart, to me, is going to go top 10. If he doesn't go to the Jets, then the Saints will certainly take him, I would think, at this point. So I think that's a real possibility. Again, in my final 7-round mock draft, I have them looking at Armand Membu, the offensive lineman, just because they could definitely use that back-to-back tackles taken in the class. Just happened with the Steelers the last 2 years. So it's definitely, that's, you know, definitely a possibility. But I wouldn't count out Dart. Justin Fields, you know, got more or less a one-year deal, and teams are taking quarterbacks regardless of who they've signed as veterans. So I think that's a legitimate possibility still.
Yeah, I wanted to go with Membu with you next as being the first offensive lineman potentially drafted, because right now a lot of people, it looks like Will Campbell is going to be the first O-lineman off the board. He's the favorite at BetMGM to get selected first. Do you feel like when it's those two guys, Chad, like, is it all team dependent? Do you think that some teams view one guy higher than other? Do you think that maybe Membu is higher on a lot of boards than maybe we all perceive? How do you kind of break down like Campbell, Membu, and maybe which O-lineman goes first in the top 10?
Yeah, I mean, because I think a lot of people think that the Patriots are going to go Will Campbell, and it's hard to fault that reasoning. But when you look at a guy like Campbell, who, you know, people have made something about his lack of arm length, but also he's got a very narrow base, narrow in the shoulders. And you don't see a guy with that kind of build taken in the top 10 very often. That is typically saved for like the 11th pick. Like Taylor Lewan is a really good example of a guy who went 11. So there's a good chance that he goes to the 49ers, for example, at 11. But the Bears could take him. But I still think Membu will probably go first, sort of like Ike Ikuanu went, you know, at like 6, I believe, to the Panthers. It's kind of a similar situation with Membu. And so I'm guessing he's going to be the first guy, and then Campbell goes like 10 or 11. But again, I understand why the odds are set with Mike Vrabel taking a, you know, Campbell at 4. I get it. But, you know, things don't always happen according to odds.
Yeah, no, 100%. Membu, again, plus money, good value there if you think he's going to be the first O-lineman off the board. Chad, let me ask you, I think this draft is so awesome because we, again, know Cam Ward's probably going 1. Travis Hunter most likely going 2 as well. After that, though, I mean, we really don't know what's going to happen with the 3rd pick and beyond. When you create all your mock drafts and you look at all these teams, is there a pick or two that you look at? And obviously nothing's a guarantee, but is there something you look at and you say, I really do feel good about that player going to that team?
Yeah, it's been hard for me to not have the Jaguars picking Mason Graham at 5. They didn't really address the defensive line in free agency. They spent a lot of other money. But that's a tough pick to come off of. So I think if he's on the board there, if the Patriots don't, you know, kind of throw a curveball to everybody taking Graham at 4, it's hard for me not to see the Jaguars going with him at 5.
Who's the team right now, Chad, that as you create your mock drafts, who's the toughest team to figure out for you? The one that just continues to, you know, give you, that puzzles you when you're trying to figure out what player they're going to take?
You know, I have an article on NFL.com now, like 5 pivotal spots in the first round, and the Jets, the Patriots, and the Giants are all there. And those 3 teams, I could come up with 100 different scenarios of what they could do. Ashton Jeanty could go to the Patriots at 4. The Giants may be missing Saquon Barkley. He could go to the Giants at 3, you know, if they don't like Abdul Carter and Shedeur Sanders. It's really interesting top 10 this year because there are so many spots that I'm just not sure. And we've already talked about the Jets. They could very well take a quarterback in mm-hmm. Jackson Dart. They could take Membu. They could take Tyler Warren if they fall in love with a tight end like that. So it's really interesting, the top 10. And those three spots are I've spent a lot of time thinking about what could happen in those three spots.
Very interesting. We're talking with Chad Reuter here on Send It In. Chad, a couple more questions for you. When you look at the draft, certainly every year we see teams try to trade up. Maybe they're aggressive to get a quarterback, get somebody that they really love that they don't feel like is going to fall to them with their pick coming up and however many picks that they have. When you look at this draft, who are the teams that you're kind of looking at that you think could be aggressive potentially trading up?
Yeah, I don't see a lot happening in the top of the draft. Tampa Bay general manager Jason Light, you know, alluded to this in a press conference. And like three out of the last 5 years or something like that, there haven't been any trades, you know, until like the 13th pick or the 10th pick, a little bit later than usual. So I think the playoff teams, Bills, Chiefs, Packers, some of these teams at the bottom of the first round are going to be the really active ones, trying to get that one guy that kind of fills that spot that they really need. Like the Eagles, for example, going to get Walter Nolan, who could fill in for Milton Williams. That kind of trades at the end of the first round is really where I expect to be a lot of action.
Very interesting. And then last question for me, Chad. Every year we see a guy who's kind of mocked to go top five, top 10 that kind of falls down the board. You were saying you think Will Campbell, again, he could go four, maybe he goes 11 potentially or something like that. Is there a guy you have in mind that maybe is mocked to go towards the top that you could potentially see sliding down?
Yeah, you know, it's so funny. This year especially, there's a lot of variation. Guys are picked in the top 10 or they're picked at the end of the round. And it just depends on who you're looking at. But I think one guy, Shamar Stewart, Texas A&M, really great athlete. He put up some great numbers at the combine. Not very productive. And there's a trend that a pass rusher goes a little bit lower than people thought, whether it's Miles Murphy, Montez Sweat, George Karloftis, Greg Russo. There's a lot of guys that end up late first-round picks. And so Stewart kind of falls into that category, 4.5 sacks in 3 years. A team could take him in the top 10, but I'm guessing he's going to go more into the 20s, maybe Tampa Bay or Buffalo or Green Bay. Somebody like that picks him up at some point at the end of the first round or near the end of the first round.
All right, very good. Great stuff as always, Chad Reuter. Make sure you guys give him a follow on X at @Chad_Reuter. NFL Draft Research with NFL Media. Always appreciate the time. Chad, thanks so much, man. Enjoy the NFL Draft. Hope to catch up again soon.
Sounds great. Thanks for having me on.
Yep, absolutely. All right, guys, let's continue talking some NFL Draft here on Send It In. As we've been doing this here over the last week or so, we look at every team in the NFL Draft and we look at their markets on BetMGM. Who is the position that they're going to draft with their first overall pick? We got a lot of great stuff there from Chad. We're going to look at the NFC South today, and we'll start with the Atlanta Falcons right now. They are favored to get a defensive lineman or an edge rusher with their first selection. And I think there's some good value on them to draft a cornerback right now. It's 7-1. Some really good odds on BetMGM. Will Johnson, Jahdai Barron out of Texas, two corners that I'm looking at. Atlanta holds the number 15th pick. They ranked second to last in the NFL last year in passing touchdowns given up. They're looking for a corner outside, or on the other side, I should say, of A.J. Terrell. And Will Johnson and Jahdai Barron are right there, should be right in the range where Atlanta is selecting. So I'm looking at 7-1 for the Falcons to draft a corner. Chad has Will Johnson going to Atlanta. So I really like that value for Atlanta to get a corner with their first selection at plus 700. Then we got the Carolina Panthers. They're drafting in the top 10. I like this one quite a bit as well. So they're favored right now to get a defensive lineman or an edge rusher at minus 105. And again, certainly could happen. Maybe they get Jalen Walker potentially out of Georgia. Maybe Mason Graham slides down to them as well. But Chad had Tyler Warren mocked to go to the Carolina Panthers at number 8, and I kind of love that, right? We all saw the development and the progression that Bryce Young made the second half of this past season. And what better way to help continue the progression of a young quarterback? Get him a tight end. And Tyler Warren is a monster. He can help you in the run game. He's also that middle of the field threat that Bryce Young really needs. So 20-1 right now on BetMGM for the Carolina Panthers to select a tight end with their first pick. Absolutely love that. I bet that this morning. I think that's awesome value on Carolina getting a tight end at 20-1. New Orleans Saints, right now they are favored to get a quarterback with their first selection at minus 185. Makes a ton of sense. Certainly they could go Shador. They could go Jackson Dart at number 9. A lot of different options for the Saints. But however, with Chad's mock draft, he had Shador potentially going 3 to the Giants. He had Jackson Dart potentially going number 7 to the Jets. There could be a lot of chaos. There could be some teams potentially that trade up above New Orleans, knowing they're sitting there at 9 and maybe want to slide in front of them to draft a quarterback. So because that they are so heavily favored to get a QB at minus 185, kind of opens up the rest of the board to potentially them getting another position. And I'm looking at offensive line and a linebacker at 12-1 for the New Orleans Saints. And I think that would be the way to go. We don't know what's up with Derek Carr yet. There's a lot of speculation that he could be out for the year. Maybe he only misses a certain amount of time. We'll see. But again, O-line for one of the teams that had one of the worst O-lines in football last year, I think that could be a good look at 12-1. Maybe somebody like Membu or Campbell goes there. Or again, Jalen Walker at Georgia linebacker, 12-1. So I think those could be worth some looks for the Saints. And then the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, no action for me in this market for them. What position are they going to draft first? This is a team that's going to sit back at pick 23, and they're just going to get best available player. For them to draft a D lineman, it's plus 145. Linebackers, plus 180. Corner is plus 500. So odds markets really don't know what to do with Tampa, just kind of depending on how the draft goes and where it falls. That's what Tampa probably will ultimately end up doing. And certainly they could end up trading back as well. So staying away from the Tampa Bay Bucks and what they're going to do with their first overall pick. All right, let's talk some NBA now here on Send It In. Two more play-in games tonight in the association, the 9-10 games. We'll start with the Bulls and the Heat. Chicago, a 1.5-point favorite tonight at home with a total of 219.5. Bulls swept the regular season meetings with Miami. They won all three games against the Heat, and yet they're only 1.5-point favorites at home. Gonna stay away from that. No real thoughts for me on the side or the total. If I had to do anything, I'd probably go under 219.5, but again, no official plays from each side or total. Couple of props that I do like in the games tonight, though. Josh Giddey in 2 of the 3 meetings against Miami had a triple-double in those games, so there's something about these matchups that really suits him. His rebound prop and assist prop are both at 9.5, but again, because I like the under, it's a playoff game, defense, higher intensity. I would more so trust the rebounds with Giddey and going over the 9.5 there. So at minus 125, like Giddey, over 9.5 rebounds. I also like Tyler Hero over 24.5 points. I think this is a little bit too low. He's had 36 against the Bulls in one of their previous regular season meetings. And again, Hero's got plenty of playoff experience. Certainly he's been to the finals with the Heat. He's been the sixth man a lot of the times, but now being the guy with Jimmy Butler gone, this Heat team has played more than enough games without Butler. They know their roles. They know who the guys are. Talked about this yesterday too. I more so like backing superstars on the road as underdogs when they know that they got to step up for their teams, pretty much carry them offensively. I would expect that tonight out of Hero, so I like him over 24.5 points against the Bulls. As for the Kings and the Mavericks, you have Sacramento as a 4.5-point favorite tonight with a total of 215.5. Again, don't really love anything side or total. If I had to make a play, probably would be on Dallas at +4.5, because you and I both know a lot of casual sports fans who haven't been locked into the NBA all year certainly know the Luka trade, and they know Nico Harrison and the Mavericks. They're probably looking to fade them, thinking this team is cooked. Kyrie Irving's out for the season. Kind of makes me like Dallas a little bit. Don't think I'll bet them, but that's the way that I would go if I had to bet it at 4.5. Two props that I do like a lot in this game, and it's centered around the Domantas Sabonis and Anthony Davis matchup. The last 6 times that Sabonis has faced Anthony Davis, who we know is one of the best defenders in the NBA, he has scored 19 points or fewer in 5 of those 6 matchups. His prop tonight is 19.5 points, so I'll go under 19.5 for Sabonis against Anthony Davis. And then on the flip side, you have Anthony Davis, who obviously is facing Sabonis. He has grabbed 15 or more rebounds in his last 3 meetings against Sabonis. He's had a couple games where he's gone for 19 rebounds. So if you can get some alts on some Anthony Davis rebounds, think that might be a nice look today. But his prop is only at 11 and a half. So again, Sabonis under points, Anthony Davis over rebounds. That's usually how these matchups have gone between these two guys. Those are the props that I like tonight in Kings and Mavericks. All right, let's check in with our guy, Chase Kitty, who joins us now on Send It In. Give Chase a follow on X at Chase A. Kitty, writer for BetMGM, talking some NBA with Chase. And let's dive in to the two games that we have tonight. Chase, we'll start with the one in the Eastern Conference between the Bulls and the Heat. Any plays for you in that game, side total or any props?
Yeah, I mean, I'll say something kind of dramatic right out of the gate, which is the Bulls are the largest wager I have placed this calendar year so far.
Wow.
Yeah, and I'll, you know, caveat, like, I just had twins. I've been a little out of the game for some of this time. So, you know, I wasn't locked in making, you know, giant four-figure bets when I'm up at 2 o'clock in the morning feeding kids. But I just think the market on this is wrong, really wrong. The Bulls, it's all about, what I think it is it's all about the perception of the individual franchises and not the teams that are on the court right now. The Heat are constant overperformers in the playoffs. We've seen that year after year after year. The Bulls have been stuck in this bizarre middle-class purgatory where they can't really crack the lottery. They're a permanent 9 seed and a fixture in these play-in games, it feels like. So I think there's a giant perception gap there. But if you look at what the actual teams are doing right now on the court, I mean, I think since March 1st, the Bulls, I want to say, are 17-7. It's like the sixth best record in the NBA. The Miami Heat, way under 500, bottom 10 in the NBA record. So just directionally, where are these teams right now? They're in a completely different place. Chicago gets to host the game, and you don't have to lay any points. It's essentially a pick 'em. It's a -115, -105 split. So it's just a total market error for me, and I'm kind of willing to push my chips into the center on this one.
Love it. Coming out of the gates hot with the Chicago Bulls, making a great case. Our guy, Chase Kitty, what about in the Western Conference game between the Mavs and the Kings tonight? Anything you like there?
I'm pretty much where you're at, which is I don't have a super strong feel. I think it's a pretty efficient market, so I don't see a lot of openings there. But the thought that I had, which you've kind of already identified, is I think there's a contrarian lane to bet Dallas. If you're looking at what the just general public perception of the Mavericks is right now, it's that they're dead in the water, that it's 1-2-3 Cancun, and that could absolutely be the case. Mm-hmm. But we're talking about the Kings here. We're not talking about the Boston Celtics. The Dallas Mavericks still have probably the best player in the game in Anthony Davis. They could go on the road and win this game, and it would not be shocking to me. My issue is, for that kind of bet, I would like a little richer return than what the money line market is right now. So it's probably going to be a total layout for me. But I think you are onto something with that contrarian Dallas thought.
Yeah, and again, that's the way I would lean, but you bring up a great point, too. It's just tough to kind of know what Dallas we're going to get tonight. That's ultimately why I'm staying away. Let's talk about some of the first-round series, Chase, that we already know are set. Anything that stands out to you? Any series prices, alt prices, anything that you like so far in any of these first-round series that we have?
Yeah, I mean, I'm all over a bunch of stuff that's available at BetMGM. It's a giant futures market. It's one of my favorite markets of the year. You come out of March Madness and you're almost feeling depressed that it's over, and then you wait 7 to 10 days and you have all these NBA futures. So I can give you a couple that I like. I think the Pistons are really interesting in that Knicks series. I just think, how healthy are the Knicks? How badly do they want this? I mean, I think this Pistons team really wants it. They want to fight about it. They're gonna grind out games. And I think, you know, the Knicks are a grindy team themselves, but I think from sort of an approach to the game standpoint, I think the Pistons are kind of a difficult draw. I think there are some really interesting stat props that you can look at in this series. So you can bet, you know, who's going to be the highest scoring player in a series, who's going to be the best rebounder in a series. I think Jalen Duren is a pretty interesting look there for most rebounds in that series at +275. Towns is a big favorite, and the market is slanted toward him. But if you've watched Towns in the playoffs before, mostly at Minnesota prior to this year, he just takes dumb fouls all the time, and he gets himself he plays himself to a place where he can't play as many minutes as the team would like to because he takes all these dumb fouls. So I wanted a way to sort of go against that market position, and I think Jalen Duren is the right way to do that. Cade Cunningham is actually the favorite to score the most points in this series, which might be a little surprising if you haven't watched a lot of Pistons this year. You would think that there would be a certain guard from the Knicks side of this that would be a favorite. But I kind of think that the market is making an interesting statement with Cade there. The really interesting angles that I think exist in this stat market are in the Lakers-Timberwolves series. So the Lakers are going to want to play small, and it's kind of hard to say that because their small players, quote-unquote, are giant, with Doncic and LeBron, but they don't really have a proper center on that team. Minnesota has definitely a proper center with Gobert. You think probably that the Lakers are going to push the pace with a small ball lineup, and that's going to limit Gobert's ability to be on the court. It's kind of what we saw with the Mavericks last year in the Western Conference Finals, and Gobert's rebounding numbers were really, really down that series. Well, if you go look at the market for most rebounds in this series, Gobert is a giant favorite, huge. But if he gets played off the court again because the Lakers go small, you have a real ability to take a couple giant long shots with this rebounding prop. So the one I was looking at, Doncic is interesting at plus 650. Julius Randle is actually the next best rebounder for the Timberwolves. And you could imagine a scenario where he's playing a small ball five for Minnesota. He's 14-1 to lead that series. And I think one of the trends we're going to see with the Lakers in some of these exotics are that Doncic and Reeves and LeBron all have good stat lines, but they all kind of eat into each other's stats. And that makes it hard for one of them to dominate a stat line the way like an Anthony Edwards or a Julius Randle might when there's less competition for stats on the Minnesota side.
Yeah, makes a lot of sense. Really good stuff from Chase Kidde. Excited to talk to him each and every Wednesday about the NBA playoffs. A lot of great stuff there. Give him a follow on X at Chase A. Kidde, writer for BetMGM. Make sure you check out his work. Chase, always appreciate the time, man. Good luck to you. We'll talk again next week.
Thanks, guys.
Yep, all right. Let's talk some golf, guys, before we get to our guy, Jake Gasson. Here's our full card for the RBC Heritage that we have this week out in Hilton Head. We're going back to the well with Colin Morikawa. I can't get off him. This course is tailor-made for Morikawa. What are the two things we're looking for most this week? Got to be accurate off the tee. Got to be great with your approach into the greens. Guess who leads the PGA Tour in both of those categories? That would be Colin Morikawa. How about Nick Taylor? Top 15 in driving accuracy, top 10 in approach to the green. Guys, 125-1 this week. So give me Morikawa, give me Nick Taylor. We're also going Morikawa in the top 10 market. Have to take a piece of Patrick Cantlay, right? Six of the last eight times he has played here, he has finished in the top seven, so we like Cantlay. And then top 20, Russell Henley, this course. Again, there's not maybe a better golfer who's accurate off the tee, good with his irons, and also with his putting, then Russell Henley. He checks all three boxes, so we like him this week. Sepp Straka, we also love. And then J.J. Spahn, outside of Morikawa, Spahn is second on the PGA Tour in approach to the green. So we like those three guys to finish in the top 20 as well. B-Mills, I see you chiming in. You're tailing me on Morikawa this week. Cantlay, Henley, and Straka. Also hearing people talk about Xander. I do like Xander this week as well. Again, Xander's kind of working his way back from the injury. This could be a week where potentially he wins or certainly gets himself into contention. So I'm with you. I like Xander this week as well. All right, let's check in with our guy, Jake Gasson, here real quick. Find out what's coming up on Bet Slips and Bat Flips. Jake, before you tell us what's coming up, any bets that you got going on live right now? We got Strider making his return. We got a couple other games. Anything that you're on?
Yeah, I didn't want to try and read the tea leaves with Strider of how this was going to go, how long he was going to be in the game. But I did go the other way. I did bet Chris Bassett over 5.5 strikeouts, which started really great because he struck out the side in the first inning. So hopefully we can keep that rolling and we can get there. And I'm also sweating Spencer Torkelson over 1.5 total bases. I tried to fade Jose Quintana, but obviously dialed into this Strider start because a lot of implications here of maybe how the rest of the Braves season is going to go, some Cy Young implications. So dialed into that, of course.
Love it. All right, Jake, so we'll be sweating out that during the show. What else do you have coming up for us as well?
We got the rest of the card, of course, PJ, and we got a lot of news impacting Rookie of the Year. Matt Shaw of the Cubs was sent down to the minor leagues, and he was one of your favorites, so we'll address the fallout of that as well.
Love it. Jake Kassan, Bet Slips and Bat Flips coming up 1:30 p.m. Eastern time, a little over 2 minutes. Make sure you guys stick around for that. Jake, have a great show, sir.
Thanks, PJ. Love you.
Love you too, pal. All right, guys, let's wrap the show. PJ's Place here on Send It In. We'll start with going streaking. Give me Christopher Morel today of the Tampa Bay Rays. We were able to get back on the board with Mountcastle yesterday. We're going to keep it going with Morel. Look, this Rays-Red Sox series has just been an over bonanza. These teams have been scoring a bunch of runs. Newcomb, the left-hander's on the mound today for the Red Sox, so I'm taking Morel, the right-handed hitter. He's going to be our play today in going streaking. Anthony Davis, I absolutely love this prop. Over 11.5 rebounds today against the Sacramento Kings. Again, he's facing Sabonis. Last three meetings for AD against Sabonis, he's grabbed 15 or more rebounds, and we only need 12 tonight for him in the Kings and Mavs game, so we'll take that over rebounding prop. Dog of the day is going to be the Cleveland Guardians plus 105 against the Orioles, because folks, if the Orioles are favorites, just continue to fade them. This team stinks. They have no juice. They can't pitch. They're terrible, and honestly, the Guardians own them in Baltimore, so we're on Cleveland today at plus 105. And then finally, my best bet is going to be Morikawa to finish in the top 10 at minus 115. I think he wins this week, but again, Morikawa's been awesome to start this season. He's the most accurate driver of the golf ball off the tee and with his irons as well. Morikawa top 10 is going to be my best bet. Thanks again to Chad Reuter, Chase Kitty, Jake Kassan, all for joining us today on the show. Awesome show. Make sure you check out the podcast, and we'll see you guys tomorrow.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
On the job, every minute counts. That's why Lowe's now has ProBlock Quick Dry Primer, expertly manufactured by Sherwin-Williams. Engineered for pros to dry fast and go on smooth for virtually flawless results that keep your job moving. It's available in oil and water-based, and getting it is easy. Order online by 2 p.m. and get free same-day delivery right to your job site. Lowe's, we help, you save. Orders placed after 2 p.m. will be delivered next day. Valid in select zip codes. Subject to driver availability. More terms apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Whatever happens today, take it on with a fresh cup of True Brew Coffee. Now only $1 with True Rewards. True North Store's True Brew Coffee is a hot, flavorful gourmet blend created from coffee beans from around the world. As a free True Rewards member, pick the size that is perfect for you and pay only $1. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Once upon an office so dreary, Wendy's HR presentation made everyone weary.
Was it a bore?
A snore. Could have used more charm, for sure.
That's it?
Wendy opened Canva, looking ecstatic. She began to work her magic.
Docs, prints, presentations galore. All in one design. Not dull anymore.
The next day, Wendy wowed the crowd. They clapped loud.
I feel so proud.
Now, imagine what your dreams can become when you put imagination to work at canva.com.